will be, Lord, help me to believe. Lord, help me to believe. One of the greatest issues the kingdom of God is having is the attack on our faith. Believing in Christ, and after going through persecution, there are so many different religions, so many different doctrines, and so many different religious groups that tried to bombard the Christian faith and attacked us. And one of the most important things the enemy is after is not your house, it's not your car, but it's your soul and your faith. Because our salvation is tied to our faith. If you lose faith, you lose everything. What's most important to you is your faith. The Bible said it is impossible to serve God without faith. So it is one of the key ingredients to having eternal life, and one of the key ingredients in order to survive while in the kingdom of God. Let's read verse 9 through 15. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitor asked. And she is inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having a child. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy pleasure, especially when my master and my husband is also old? The 13th verse, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Verses 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Verses 15, the last verse. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it and said, I didn't laugh. Most important part of the text is the 14th verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Turn to your neighbor on the left or the right and say, neighbor, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Hallelujah. One of the key scriptures that you must understand inside of the text, we see that they were more than over the age of 90. That at that age, in our own society today, you can have a child. You can produce eggs as a woman. One of the other things, after a certain age, a man cannot get up. I'm trying to be prolifically understandable. There is adults here. So understanding that at this time, Abraham and Sarah did not believe or comprehend that they can have a child. One thing that Abraham, you must understand about Abraham, God called him away from his family and told him, go over there and I will bless you. And God did that. Just like he called us out of the world and he blessed us. Just like he delivered you out of whatever you were in, he did the same thing for Abraham. So it was not a heart thing for God to do what he promised. One of the hardest things is that Abraham did not know how this was going to happen. God has already blessed him with cattle. He blessed him with wealth. He blessed him with staff. He blessed him with servants. So when he came to this point of his life, it was not difficult for God to do this. One of the main things that we have to remember as believers, if God promised you something, and you must remember, if he delivered you from that, he'll deliver you today. We have to really check the record. If he brought you out, he will bring you out again. If he healed cancer once, he can do it twice. If he healed you from whatever sickness before, he can do it again. There is nothing that is impossible for God. What is impossible for man, God can do it. When the doctor says no, God says yes. When the bank says no, God says yes. When the promotion is not even yours, you're not even educated enough to get it, and they say no, God says yes. Because when you are faithful and you are obedient and you are willing, God is willing to bless you. God is willing to open up doors for you. Especially when you are a faithful tither and offering giver, and when you serve in the kingdom of God, God will not hold nothing from you. If you keep believing, I assure you that God will bring your promise to pass. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been promised something? Yes or no? Does it always come to pass? That is the most difficult part of our lives. A promise is something that's committed to someone or to do or not to do. But whenever God gives you a promise, you must understand that there is a strong possibility that the promise that is promised to you will not always happen right now. Whenever God promises in this text, we see that God promises Abraham and tells him that in a year time, you will have a son. When God promises us, sometimes it's usually right there and then, few weeks, months, years. But the problem is not the promise or the promise giver. The problem is us. Because we are the type of people that want it now. Our flesh wants it now. But our spirit man and the lesson or the process that God is bringing us through is going to teach us how to trust God. Abraham and Sarah were married, but they did not have a child. And God had promised them a son of their own. Abraham and Sarah knew that God will keep his promise because he has kept his promise previously about all the other things that he's already done for him. Just like us, he promised you that job, you got it. He promised to save your husband, he did it. He promised to save your son, he did it. He promised to give you better health, he's done it. He promised you such and such, and it happened. And we kept on believing. But they waited, and they kept on waiting, and they kept on waiting, and they kept on waiting, and it was a long time for God to keep that Abraham and Sarah waited over 20 years for God to fulfill his promise, sending them a son of their own, Isaac. That's a long time to wait. We won't even wait 20 minutes for the food to be finished cooked. When we are really hungry, we'd rather just throw something in the microwave versus eating the food that's being cooked right now. We become impatient. We wrestle with our flesh and try to compensate at that moment. For God to fulfill his promise for sending them a son to their life, it was 20 years they waited. And while they were waiting, they kept on getting older and older and older. Body kept on getting shriveled up. Eggs kept on getting darker and darker and burnt. The lifespan of having a child at that age kept on getting worse and worse Many of the times when we as women get to a certain point of age, the doctor starts to tell you that once you reach 35, it is difficult for you to have children. That's man's agenda. But God, when God says you can wait at any point and any time, and we get nervous, and you know, many of these women, once they reach 28 and 35, they want to get married. They want to quickly have children. But if you put your life in God, you can wait until he give you your Boaz so you don't settle for a bozo. Because you might pick and get a mess and not a ministry. You might pick and get a devil instead of a saint. You might pick and get a Jezebel instead of a man of God. And it goes for men too. Because we get to a point when we want to get married now. We want it now. She looks good, but she can't make no biscuits. She look good. She got her nails done every week. She can't clean no house. She can't make the bed. She don't know how to save. She'll get you in debt. Because every week she turn around, she'll be swiping your card. And all you see is coming to the house is bills and not a blessing. So you be careful who you pick and let the Lord use you. And all the while they were waiting on God, they become impatient like us. And they try to help God. One thing that I have learned, God don't need my help. God did not need Abraham's help or Sarah's help with God. And so they tried to get a son, which is Ishmael. And God says, that's not the son that I am going to bless you through. Many times we try to do it and go ahead of God. God tells us to wait a while before going out to get that house. We go out and get it anyhow. 6 months later, you got asbestos. He told you to wait, but you didn't wait. Because he had another one in store for you that he knew that everything was going to be all right. He told you, don't get that car. That car has a faulty part in it. No, you don't want to listen. That's what I like. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. You get it. And we ain't seen you in 6 Sundays because you're trying to pay that payment that you can't afford, trying to impress me and trying to impress all the other saints. What, now you in debt, you ain't paid your tithes, you cursed with a curse, you messed up because you didn't wait on God. The hardest problem in our Christian faith is waiting on God. We come to the point now that when waiting is, it is difficult. It is hard for us to wait. Waiting on God's timing causes us to get in prayer and focus on God. You ever notice the more you pray about the situation, the worse it gets? The more you pray about that son, the worse he gets. The more you pray about that husband, the worse it gets. The more you go to doctors, the worse it gets. The more they're telling you bad news, because God wants to know, do you trust me? Do you believe me? Because I didn't tell you when it's going to get better. But I told you that it will come to pass. Are you willing to wait on me? Are you willing to wait on my timing? Up to a point that at that point you feel like God has forgotten you. Everybody else is getting blessed. Everybody else is getting a new house. Everybody else is getting saved. Everybody else's family is being delivered. What's going on in my own family? What's going on in my own family? And we wrestle and we toss with the process of waiting on God's timing. Because when you're close to your blessing, the worse it gets. Can I tell you? Because the enemy knows that you are this close to your promise. He wants to get you to give up. He wants to get you to move out of way. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop fasting. He wants you to stop coming to church. He wants you to stop believing. He wants you to stop trusting. When you're so close to your miracle, You're so close to your blessing. You're so close to your deliverance. You're so close to breakthrough. You're so close to being turned upside down. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. It is a process. Last year was one of the most difficult years for me spiritually to wait on God. Even when I didn't feel like it, I have to keep on going. I kept praying, I kept fasting, I kept seeking, I kept studying, I kept moving forward. I kept on paying my tithes, I kept on giving my offering, even when the enemy said, don't go back there. Because the enemy will speak to you and tell you to come out of God's will when God is preparing you for better. God is prepping you for the next ministry. God is prepping you for the miracle. God is preparing you for the blessing. How long are you willing to wait on God? Ask yourself, how willing am I and how long am I wait on God? It's even gotten to the point that the enemy will tell you that God didn't say what he said. He will speak to your mind. All of a sudden, you got more people calling you, speaking into your ear, speaking into your spirit, telling you all sort of stuff that God did not say to you. Bringing the spirit of distraction, the spirit of confusion, the spirit of negativity to you, where you know you need to shut it down. Because where you are going in the kingdom of God, you can't bring everybody. You can't tell everybody. You can't attest to everybody. Because you know the struggle that you're going through. And you've got to keep focus. You got to cast down imagination. Bringing it down into every captivity under the obedience of Christ. Because if the devil had his way, your mind will go crazy over the things that the enemy speaks to you at night. You can't even sleep. You are tossing, you are turning, you're worrying how God's going to do it, when he's going to do it, who's going to use to do it, how it's going to come through. You trying to figure it out when it's already figured out. When he's already got your best interest in mind. He's never made a promise and did not come to pass with it. He promised the people of Israel that I am going to bring you into Egypt. And in the 400 and something years, I will bring you out. And he brought them out on the 400 and something days. And they came out with wealth and the goods of Egypt. They waited 400 and over 30 years. Are you willing to wait that long? Are you willing to wait that long for your prayers to be answered and not give up and think that God has forgotten about the prayer that you prayed last year? The prayer that you prayed and you cried out to God and God did speak to you and said, I will do what you ask. I am going to do it for you. And while you are going through this process, he's doing other things for you. But you're so caught up in the one event that is major for you, that the minor things that he's doing don't even have an effect on your spirit, man. Because you're so focused on that one thing that you forget that he's putting food on your table. He's giving you promotions. He's brought you to doctors and stunned doctors. He showed you that he's a healer. He showed you that he's a deliverer. He showed you when you didn't have money to pay your bill, he paid your bills. They're sending you a refund checks. But you're not focused on those things. It comes to that point where we have to believe and trust God and wait upon the Lord. Many times we pray and ask God for things and we do not see it, but we want to lose faith and give up. But one thing that you must remember, you can rely on God. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, shall he not make it good? If he spoke it, will he not make it come to pass? Our job as believers is not to figure it out or try to figure it out. Our job is to stand on the word of God. Our job is to keep believing in what God said. If he said it, hold on to it. Don't let nobody else tell you otherwise. Because if he did that for you then, he'll do this for you now. Our job is to keep hope alive. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Hope make it not ashamed. If you keep believing, I promise you that you will come out victorious. He's already told you that you're more than a conqueror. He has already told you that you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are victorious. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's already told you that with me, and if you are in me and I in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Just keep believing. Satan's assignment in that process is to get you out of the will of God. Satan's assignment in that time is to cause you to settle for less and not get God's best. Satan's assignment in that process is to cause you to feel like you're the only one that God is not blessing. You're the only one that God is not answering. You're the only one that God is not working on their behalf. But that's a lie from the pits of hell. God is working behind the scenes. All you've got to do is get out of your natural eye and look with your spiritual eye, and you will see that God is working it out for you. We are too caught up in our senses. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. If we can't touch it, we don't believe it. If we don't hear it, we can't believe it. But sometimes God causes your senses to know nothing about the spirituality of the thing that he's getting ready to do for you. Because if you continue to rely on your senses, you go straight to hell. Because God works in the spirit, not in our flesh, not in our five senses. The greatest other part of the battle where the enemy speaks to us in our mind, the battlefield is in our mind. We begin to think negative. We begin to fester with people that are negative. We begin to call people that are negative, June bug and all of them, and they start telling you God ain't said it, you know, that ain't God, you know, you heard somebody else. No, I didn't hear nobody else. I heard God, and I know what he said. He said so and so. And matter of fact, I wrote it down so when it come to pass, I could cross it off. Because I have other stuff written down that I know he's already done. And if he did those, then those were real difficult. This don't seem that difficult. But it's only the process of where God is dealing with us. Genesis 21 and 1. At this time, we see that the right time came to pass. God gave Abraham and Sarah their son. This was the baby through whom God would keep all of his promises. Those promises was that he would bless Abraham, make him a great nation, and that through him all the nations of the world will be blessed. Hebrews 6 and 15 says, Abraham waited patiently and he received what God promised. In the 21 verses 1 through 5, the Lord kept his promise and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant. She gave birth to his son, Abraham, in his old age. This happened at such a time as God had permitted. Abraham named their son Isaac, which was the name that God had already given him, 8 days after he was born, and Abraham circumcised him, and God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Is there anything too hard for God? Stand. I'm done. Lord, help my unbelief. It's critical to not give up on God. And it's critical while you are going through the process to your promise to don't let go of God's hands. Don't let go of the promise. Don't let go of the word. Stand on the word, because it's the word that's going to keep you. It's the word that's going to sustain you. It's the word that's going to help you to make it to the next place. And as you must understand, brothers and sisters, we are all at one point will go through that process. We all will have our faith tested. We all will ask God for something or pray, or he gives us a promise that we will have to wait on his timing. Are you willing to wait? Many of us right now have prayers that we have prayed for family members, not just family, just our own self, because some of us are under the attack of the enemy against our health, our spiritual well-being. There is spiritual wickedness, principalities, and powers that is you are up against every single day. And it seems like after one attack comes another attack. When you get over this one, there's another one. After this one, by the time you cover this one, there's another one. And after